A new national report finds that when it comes to understanding science, Americans perform about as well as other people in developed nations, a result that many find surprising. With so many hot-button scientific topics, energy usage, healthcare, and climate change, how important is scientific literacy or the ability to explain or interpret science to make informed judgments?
Our guest is one of 12 authors of the report. She joins us now to talk about the state of science literacy in the U.S. Dominique Brossard is professor and chair of the Department of Life Sciences Communication at UW-Madison. Dominique, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start off with what we thought we knew about science literacy. I think there's a general assumption that we Americans, we don't know as much about science as we should. How did that pan out?
Yeah, and I think that was one of the impetus for the National Institutes of Health to commanditate a report to the National Academy of Science and Engineering to see if this, let's say, assumption was correct and if empirical data would support this assumption. So what we realized looking at the available data comparing knowledge and attitude towards science in a number of countries around the world is that the United States is doing, as well as the other developing countries. Obviously, there's no exact answer, that would be similar within each country because it's difficult to find similar questions. But overall, I would say we fare well.
Was that a surprise, do you think?
I've been working on the issue of scientific literacy and controversial science in general for a very long time, so I wasn't particularly surprised, but I think it was extremely healthy for a federal agency to commandite that report to really, call into question that assumption that a lot of people have. And I think it may be coming as a surprise to a lot of people, not because of the results itself, but because there is still the assumption that the large, widespread attitudes we have in the United States towards some issues such as climate change, GMOs, and et cetera, are due to a lack of knowledge. And as a matter of fact, that's something else that our report looked at, is the relationship between that those level of science literacy and attitudes toward these issues. And I think the very important finding is that very often it's not level of science knowledge that explains how people feel about scientific topics.
Right. It's not how much we know that maybe decides what we think about an issue. As you say, like global warming, part of what you're saying is it's maybe the values we interpret that knowledge with, as I understand your report.
Yeah, and you're exactly correct. And that's where things are complicated. We really, find that people that are extremely knowledgeable about an issue can become very polarized about that issue, right? And the fact that you know extremely well the science behind won't explain how you're going to act upon that science. And very often, it could be important values that are super close to your own self. It could be religious belief in the context of embryonic stem cells. It could be political attitudes in the context of climate change. It could be deference to science in the context of genetic engineering food. So not all the time the same value comes into play, but certainly we filter the information around us based on things that are important to us.
So how does that change how we educate around science now that we have some new results about how literate Americans are about it?
Yes. What's important is that realizing that science communication is actually that. It's science communication. It's not about educating people. We're talking about, a large number of Americans that are intelligent, well-versed, but cannot, keep up with everything in a way that we suppose they are. They apply your recent mentor talk cuts to make sense of the issues around us. And that means that we need to know those shortcuts. We need to design our communication exchanges, again, conversations, not one-way stream, in a way that takes into account this kind of thing. We have a lot of work to do. Look, yesterday, or like very recently, Bill Nye, the science guy, just announced that he would have a new show on Netflix. Is that going to be called Bill Nye Saves the World? And the way they announced the show, he's saying that he will actually, address the myth that people have about science and correct the misinformation. Well, he may make things even worse because that's not what it is. What it is about listening to what people have to say and then finding a common ground to make sense of these issues in a way that, you know, that acknowledge and respects others' point of view. So educating and saving the world by correcting misinformation is actually a disastrous way to go about it. So I hope that the report will, you know, reach a large constituency of people that are interested in communicating about science, and they will actually make an effort to understand the psychology behind it, basically.
Talking to Dominique Brossard. She's with the UW-Madison. She was involved in a national report on scientific literacy in the United States. We do pretty well at an individual level, but maybe that's not the whole story she's finding. And Dominique, as you say, it isn't just what individuals know. In this report, you say there's community scientific literacy, sort of a social combined composite scientific literacy that's important, too. How so?
Yeah, and that was, I think, an important component of our report. We looked at science literacy, and we looked also at health literacy. And traditionally in the United States, at least, let's say in the last decade or so, there's been that realization that health literacy is not only something that an individual has, and that the community in which the individual lives, like the structure that's there, the healthcare system, the policy, the hospitals, etc., all these have to be taken into account. Until now, science literacy has been thought as only something that individuals hold. And there is actually now the realization that we need to think about the structure around it, the school, the policies and such, the university in the community, etc. And that a community in itself can develop a science literacy that transcends just the individuals that live there, because they are able to leverage each other's knowledge, each other's interests, each other's strength. And look, and I think our community here in Madison is a good example of it. We have the university with very knowledgeable scientists. You can have community members that can leverage that knowledge to be involved in local issues in a way that's actually, you know, beneficial for the community. So the structure around, that leverage goes beyond just the individual and brings together a community itself.
Now, we hear a lot about, for instance, education gaps in this country and in Wisconsin in particular, you know, maybe between urban and rural populations, between African American and white populations. Are there populations when it comes to scientific literacy that we need to focus extra attention on?
And I'm so glad you point that, Veronica, because this is something that our report also stresses, that you cannot disconnect scientific literacy from what we call fundamental literacy. So at the end of the day, if you have, you know, issues with writing and reading and so on, obviously this is going to impact your capacity of reading about science topics and so on, or even being involved in the community in a meaningful way. So going back to that structural notion I was telling you and the community level and so on, it's important to realize that indeed you have some demographics that will actually end up being on the lower end because of the structural deficiency I was pointing out before.
And Dominique, I wonder if there are lessons here in how we do science education as opposed to maybe, you know, read the textbook, hear the lecture, take the quiz. Does this point toward maybe more a hands-on science education, maybe more here's how this influence or affects this particular issue in our society, bringing that into the conversation?
I think, you know, like science has become so, to some extent, expert at what they do, right? We have all those disciplines that have developed and the expert knowledge that developed that we tend to be teaching kids that way, right? Now we're doing, I always give the example, you know, I have a master's in genetics and my kids in ninth grade in high school are taking the classes I was taking at the end of my master's, you know, like 30 years ago. So we're teaching earlier and earlier things that are to some extent more complicated that they need to know as engaged citizens. We should talk about also science in context, which is important, a notion of science literacy. Of issues, what are the policies around them, what's the role of the scientists, how do we solve those issues, you know, on a case-by-case, example of communities, examples of the local level where that practical science knowledge takes place. And I agree with you that I think it is time to change the view we think of science education, particularly as issues that depend on science. I'm thinking of gene editing, I'm thinking of climate change, you know, are so relevant to us, and we will have to have an informed citizenry that gets in a policy decision. So we have to rethink How do we engage people in science in a way that's not a top-down way?
Are there any templates for that kind of education that are in play right now that are doing particularly well, or any particular public figures? You mentioned Bill Nye and his the way his new show is being positioned as maybe not being ideal, but anyone who is doing it right.
Well, you know, I think, for example, here at the local level, we are involved with the Mortgage Institute for Research at the UW-Madison in their science festival, and that we have, organized last year a panel that was really a broad discussion with interested citizens about the human genome. And the question was asked, should we edit the human genome? And you had experts that did very brief presentations, and citizens engaging discussions and so on. And our data that we haven't published yet showed that, people learned about it and actually had attitudes that were more sophisticated at the end. And so there are cases like that around the world where people are using, public settings to develop this kind of public engagement exercises that promote scientific literacy in a way that, if you wish, is consistent with what the report is pointing out.
Dominique, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
That was Dominique Brossard, professor and chair of the Department of Life Sciences Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking with us about the state of science literacy in the United States.